Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22nd day of June, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
We need one of those ticker tape sounds.
Millions of Dell computers running Windows and possibly many more computers made by other brands are vulnerable to a flaw in their internal system health software that could let hackers take over the machines, according to a new report from Sunnyvale, California-based Safe Breach. In Dell machines, the software is called Support Assist. It's made by PC Doctor, a maker of hardware diagnostic software that licenses its software to other electronic device makers. Dell and PC Doctor have pushed out a firmware update that fixes this issue, which you can install following the instructions on Dell's support page for the Support Assist flaw, which we'll have Steve put up shortly. Probably easier to copy it off. PC Doctor,
You might need that to read.
Yeah, I might. The support assist function is vulnerable because it doesn't securely handle shared code repositories known as DLLs, dynamic link libraries. In order to avoid duplication, modern operating systems store apparently I can't read it even when I'm reading it. Modern operating systems store pieces of code used by many programs in common repositories called dynamic link libraries, abbreviated as DLLs in Windows or DILIBs in Mac OS. Programs load DLL files when they start up, but attackers can set traps by corrupting existing DLLs or substituting malicious DLL files, which then inject malicious code into programs that use those DLLs. Most programs have ways to prevent such DLL injection, but Dell Support Assist clearly doesn't, because that's how Safe Breach researchers were able to attack it. Because Support Assist runs a system, it has very deep hooks into the operating system, and hijacking its functions would let an attacker do virtually anything on the machine, especially because it's a signed service recognized as safe by Microsoft. Safe Breach reported this vulnerability to Dell on April 29th, and Dell in turn referred it to PC Doctor, which got the vulnerability listed in the Common Vulnerability Database as CVE-2019-12280. Dell says that more than 90% of customers to date have received the update released on May 28, 2019 and are no longer at risk. Dell Support Assist updates automatically if automatic updates are enabled. Well, duh. And most customers have automatic updates turned on. Safe Breach posted an updated version of its findings with the information that several other pieces of software were vulnerable. The aforementioned PC Doctor Toolkit Toolbox for Windows and other versions that Safe Breach said had been rebranded as Corsair One Diagnostics, Corsair Diagnostics, Staples Easy Tech Diagnostics, Tobii iSeries Diagnostic Tools, and Tobii Dynavox Diagnostic Tool. If you have any of these, update immediately. How safe is your system? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I wonder if this is related. One of the office-type computer stores had a problem a few months ago. PC Health Check software turned out to be malicious and ran more than it was supposed to, and they were giving people a reimbursement, according to an FCC allegation. It doesn't say if this is the same vulnerability.
Yeah.
But it was the same type of thing, that a diagnostic software had been compromised that someone was using, a large company was using across a lot of different stores.
Right. Why am I not seeing the... Oh, sir.
Hmm? What aren't you seeing?
Refresh?
I did. I'm only seeing last week's. I don't know.
Yeah, I got this week's.
I don't know. I'm looking for the stream so I can.
You might have.
Now here it is. Now it's in the.
In your notification. Because it's not a video; it's a stream.
Oh, of course.
It doesn't become Doesn't become a video until the stream is
exactly,
done.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know how technical computers are.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I clearly need someone in their teens to explain how.
I was going to say, call your daughter.
Just because I'm pedantic,
she'll help you out. She's a technical person now. Okay. You're retired. Remember,
she'll also say rude things to me about it, but she's right about that.
Yeah, just because I'm pedantic doesn't mean I'm wrong.
You are technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. Exactly. But yeah, what we're finding, and this has been true for generations now, while we complain about Microsoft so much, and we complain in general about a lot of these things, the reality is that many of the problems that we have with these systems are caused by third-party products that are just simply poorly written. And if you only, one of the things that's kept Macs safer often than Windows machines is that much of the software is written by Apple.
Right. So the same people design the hardware that write the software so they can tie it more closely together and miss a lot of the vulnerabilities that oversight allows them to have.
Right. Right. And that's great, and it doesn't happen so much on the Windows side of things. But even Macs nowadays, much of what they have that people run are no longer made by Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people run Office or LibreOffice, Microsoft Office or LibreOffice. They run Adobe products.
Yeah, there's so many other choices.
Right. So,
although we do see, especially in our older customers, the most of them are running only Apple software because all they want is web and mail.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mac comes with Apple's Office Suite, Pages, Keynote, and Numbers. The problem then is they go on the web and open Facebook and Twitter and
right.
Instagram, and now you're vulnerable through there. And the ads, the malicious ads now that are propagating across.
That's where, you know, the Chromebooks are really gaining the popularity as far as that goes.
I was fighting a malicious ad on my iPad this morning where it said, congratulations, you're a winner. No, I just want to read this news story. So I had to give up, and we'll go back to the news story later once they clean their website off.
Right, exactly right. But yeah, there's a lot of issues with third party products, and the more of them you run, the more you're going to have trouble. One of the nice things about Linux is that all of that stuff is vetted by thousands of eyes, and very few people go outside the Linux ecosystem to get anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is every now and then, some core technology that they've been using for 20 years. Somebody new finds a problem with it.
Right.
And usually the person that finds it fixes it.
Right.
That's the way the Linux community is. But because most of that software is open source and people can read the source, it lets people vet it and find these problems. Sometimes it takes a while, but often it's a lot faster than in other OSs. In fact, there's been an interesting thing going in the Windows world with we're not quite sure if she's a white hat or a black hat, Sandbox Escaper. Keeps finding vulnerabilities in Windows and dropping them in her Twitter feed, so they become 0 days. She's not reporting them responsibly, a lot of the security community is up in arms about. If you find a bug, you tell the manufacturer, you let them fix it before you tell the public, because as soon as it's public, then the bad guys will start using it to exploit computers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there's quite a opportunity these days where you can make a decent living finding bugs and selling them to the good guys at conferences, or, you know, heaven forbid, selling them to the bad guys.
Right.
at exploits. But a lot of these exploits are being found because you have fresh eyes looking at the programs. The mm-hmm. people that write the code,
they spend too much time buried into it, and they get their head wrapped around, well, it should do this, this, and this, and, you know, not taking it out to other third-party people to look at it and say, okay, now see if you can break this. And that's right. What a lot of companies need to do more often is, you know, put it out there to some folks, you know, professional hackers, literally.
Right.
You know, challenge them and pay them. Pay them to find holes. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're doing with things like Pwn to Own.
Right.
The problem with that and with so many of these other things is that that means people hold the best exploits until those things come up,
right,
rather than fixing them now.
Yeah.
Which gives the bad guys the same amount of time to find them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and get it out even faster.
So yep. A lot of companies are now offering their own bug bounties. Apple has traditionally been one of the companies that doesn't offer bug bounties, but they have started to recently as well. One, because they don't want to get into a bidding war with the bad guys. There is a well-known bug payment company that sells to malicious actors.
Right.
And they are offering, I think it's $1 million for an iPhone exploit.
So it's hard money to
turn
right.
down.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Apple's bug bounty is, you know, say $50,000, which is a lot of money, but the bad guys are
offering $1 million.
Yes, yeah, $1 million. Yep. And so that traditionally that's what Apple has not wanted to do, is run into these bidding wars.
Right.
And so we're seeing that now with the Pwn to Owns and the bug bounty programs that companies have. They can't make up the amount of money that the bad guys are offering for the same problems.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a long-standing issue, and that's one of the interesting things about Linux. So far, at least, everybody who's most, 99% of the people who find problems, fix them free. They fix them themselves, and they're actually in it for the glory.
Yeah.
More than for the money. So they, you know, they get their name in the fix.
The bragging rights. Yeah.
Right, right, right.
And that's what they got to do, is they got to glorify it more, you know, to encourage these folks to actually find the bugs, report it, and reward them for it, than to, you know, go to the dark side. And because here's the thing. Yeah. So you get paid for it and you get a bad rep. Then, you know, you're going to get it once, and then
right.
That's about it.
It's up to $2 million now for an iOS remote jailbreak.
Wow.
Well, that was January, so it might be even higher now.
Could be even higher.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's an interesting, one of the stories I have later talks about, did I put that one in today? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrite, which is an Israeli-based company.
Oh, yeah.
Actually say they can break any iPhone anywhere ever.
But they only sell their software to legitimate law enforcement.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, boy.
So Sheriff Bob in East Podunk can buy one of these exploits to spy on his girlfriend.
Right.
which has happened.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which has happened.
Oh,
right,
yes.
Right.
He is as honest as the day is long.
That's right. And the days are getting shorter.
Shorter. That's right.
As of today.
As of today. Sorry, you're 2 minutes shorter.
You're right. Happy summer. And the days are now getting shorter.
Yeah.
And Sheriff Bob is getting less honest.
Boy, I was up to the lake there. Boy, that water is still high.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very high. Very, very high. It's I have friends who live along the lake, and it's a huge issue.
Well, down there, you know, because I live down on Empire Boulevard, there's usually a turnoff.
Yeah.
That people go and feed the ducks. They got these cones. Those things, these big barrel things, they're underwater, and I'm counting the number of stripes
that
you can see on a barrel, and then this one that's down there a little bit, that's about 2 foot deep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting problem. There's a great picture. It says, meanwhile, in New York State, and it's a pond with a just the top of a pool.
Well, you know,
showing above it.
Like folks are saying, there's one like comment, you know, wait a minute. You know, people in California, you keep saying, oh, we're sliding off into the ocean. And then they show pictures.
The ocean's coming to us.
Right now, the lakes around us, you know, how it's causing all this flooding. It's like,
California's in a drought. So West Coast is in a drought. East Coast is getting flooded. If there was only some way we could you know, move the water from one place to another place.
That's like on the East Coast, you buy snails to eat and they're very expensive. Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, snails are a pest and they pay you to get rid of them. There's a market there for somebody.
Well, down
there's
south,
a business right there.
Well, I know down south in South Carolina and that, there were certain areas that we'd go out, you know, and you'd hear the ground crunching because there were so many snails and everything else underneath there. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
So each area has its, you know, good points, bad points. And
But yeah, that's the getting systems secure. There's no such thing as a secure system.
No.
Okay, that's the first thing.
That's a falsehood if you think, oh, well, you've done all this and this, that you don't have to keep due diligence.
Right.
And that's where the biggest issue is.
Right. And you can mitigate that risk in certain ways, you know, being careful of where you go and what you say yes to and reading everything before you install something and all of that, yada, yada, yada. Only getting stuff from well, I was about to say only getting stuff from vetted sources, but the Apple stores had problems. The Google stores had problems. The Mozilla stores had problems. They all, you know, stuff sneaks in and while they're all very diligent about it, you can't get everything. There's, you know, they just don't get everything. So you need to be aware of what you're doing, and you need to be... Go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, one other thing that they've snuck in, and I don't know if you've noticed this, you know, and again, I think it's a way to get into exploits and all that, is, all right, you get some of these videos, YouTube videos and that. Now, all of a sudden, they're plugging in all these ads, whether you want them or not.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a minute. What happens if one of those ads are playing and that gets an, you know, has a bug in it?
Yeah.
Now, because this is the way you're doing business, and, you know, all right, if you're going to watch this, say, YouTube video, you got to put up with four or five breaks.
And what's especially annoying is a lot of the people will have their own sponsors in the show and will, like, read a commercial on the air.
Right.
And then YouTube inserts their own commercials.
Yep.
So you end up, you know, there's 16 commercials in a two-minute video. Yeah.
Right. But like I say, they're just opening the door. I would think open the minute I'm watching it, all of a sudden it takes a break. No, I get off of that one. No. Yep. Oh, I chose to watch this, not sit there and watch all these ads.
No, I completely agree.
Because I don't know what other junk might sneak in.
That's right. One thing I've been very pleased with is a program called uBlock Origin. Mm-hmm. I don't see most, I won't say any, but I don't see most YouTube ads. I don't see most ads on Facebook. I don't see a lot of ads anymore. But Google is changing that. They're going to be blocking ad blockers because Google makes their money from ads.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
It's fact of life.
So a lot of people are now saying move instead to Firefox, which is cleaner. And, of course, you have the choices of things like Opera and
Brave Dillo is a new one that is really trying to focus on privacy and stopping ad tracking. They stop all the little Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn icons because every time that icon shows on a page, it tells the other end you were on that page.
Yep.
So it's an easy way for them to track you.
Yep. There are things you can install in your browser that block the Facebook pixel.
It used to be companies would put a white pixel on the screen, so you didn't know it was there. And now, so I bet, does Facebook pay a site a little bit to put their bug on there, or does the site do it anyway?
Both.
Yeah, a little of both.
You know, everybody uses those, we use them, with those little social media icon things. Well, you're tracked by those. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. Just a little experiment I did a little while back with download.com. Not that I'm dissing it. It has its uses, but they've gotten really tricky with their installer. And sometimes you have four or five programs that are coming with the installer, and some of them you have to click to say you want it or click unclick it to say you don't want it, and it flips back and forth. That some of them you have to check to say you don't want it, some of them you have to uncheck to say you don't want it.
Yep.
All in the same installer.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly right. That's why I say you've got good point, Mark. You've got to read every single prompt before you say yay or nay.
Right, and they've gotten sneaky with that by having to either check it to say no. Usually, you uncheck it to
right.
Say I don't want it. The other thing is I've noticed with notifications on a lot of websites, it pops up. Wants to give you notifications. Usually, allow is on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Deny, yeah. Or not now is on the right, and you open up and it says never under the carrot.
Right.
Well, now they're starting to flip it that allow is where the deny should be.
Right, because right. People are used to it the other way and will have gotten into the habit of clicking on that side.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
Stuck.
So as said, like a lot of things you've got to be careful for because it's like they've gotten so sneaky.
Well, exactly. Like I say, people get click happy.
Yep.
And that's it, they don't take the time when they're installing something to slow down, take a breath, and actually read the things that are on the screen and what they're clicking.
Right.
Like you said, Mark, they get very complacent in that, oh, yeah, it's always the one on the left. So
yeah.
They just keep hitting it real quick, and then all of a sudden, now they've gotten smart switching it, and you're installing stuff and getting a lot of other junk in there that you didn't want to.
The
and
other
you ask, well, you installed it. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Other thing I've noticed is that sometimes sites have a green and a red button.
Oh, yeah.
And the red button doesn't always mean no.
Yes, I've run into that too. It's just so sneaky,
Changing yeah. The wording, again, that you, yeah. You know.
As we've been saying for a long time, you've got to pay attention. Read all the prompts before you click on one. And I know, oh my golly, I just want to play Elf Bowling. I just saw it, and I must play it right now. And this is not just for your desktop or your laptop. It's for your phone and your tablet as well, because
right.
They use those same sneaky things for those as well. So you got to pay attention. Take your time. Read and understand what you're checking before you check it.
There was a subplot in this season's Legends of Tomorrow where the demon Neron was on Earth and he took over our hero's body.
Yeah.
And he had released an app that you could spot magical creatures with. And so everyone was... And in the there was an episode called Terms and Conditions. And in the Terms and Conditions, if you install this app, you give your soul to the devil.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a great episode.
Yeah.
Well, people have done that for real. They have put out terms and conditions that say things like, by agreeing to these terms and conditions or by installing this app, you will send us your firstborn male child or
yep.
You will sell your soul to the devil or some other thing. And they said people never read them ever.
Yeah, the one girl in there was reading it. And
right. And everyone else.
Well, why are you reading it? She goes, because I want to know what this is all about.
They're so incredulous that she's actually reading the
yes,
terms and
yes.
Conditions.
you have time?
We got to take a break. Stay on the line, Mark.
Okay.
Don't go away.
Thanks.
We've got about a minute or so before we have to actually take a break. Nope, apparently we're taking the break right now. All right, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark from Greece, and you and me and us and all together. Cuckoo, ka-choob. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Mark from Greece still on the line. You still there, Mark?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what's your next question?
The next thing is I ran into a little problem with Firefox, and used to be you could go into About Config.
Yeah,
and you could go to the quit warning and turn it from false to true, so when you close your browser, it would save the tabs you had open.
Yeah.
Well, a few versions ago, they got rid of it. So the only option you had was to go into your settings and say, save last session.
Right.
Okay, well, I had used that for a while, just when I needed to save things for a short period of time. Then I would go in and click off of it, and it would stop saving them. Well, all of a sudden, it would not stop saving. It saved everything, no matter what I did. If I changed where my icons were in the browser, you know, for stuff, it would always default back, and it was really ticking me off. So I went into the support forums, and they made me go into my user profile folder and open it in a text document.
Sure.
And try to look for the particular problem in there and delete it, you know, the command. And I could not find it. So they said if you wanted, you could delete everything in the folder. So I did, and it cleared up the problem. Now the browser is running fine again, but it had to create a new user folder.
Right.
And if anybody's having that problem with it not taking your settings, which I guess is now a common problem in the past two versions of Firefox, it is safe to do and it's easy to do.
Well, alternately, you could just turn it off in the settings.
I tried, and it would always turn itself back on.
Really? Under startup, restore previous session?
Yep.
Uncheck it, and it would turn itself back? Interesting.
As soon as I went back, even if I changed my theme, I have like three themes in there.
Right.
And I would set it to the light theme, and it would go back to the dark theme every time I turned, you know, started the browser back up.
Interesting. So something was locked in the preferences.
Yeah, and I couldn't find the particular command in the preference folder. So it says if you can't find it, delete everything in there, save it, and then reopen, and everything will reset in the settings. And that's what happened, and it works perfectly.
Good. Excellent.
So,
thank you.
You know, if anybody's running into that problem, don't worry. It's not going to break your browser. I did back up the browser before I did it just to make sure.
Right. Good point.
But, you know, it's guess it is a common problem that it won't change certain settings at all. It just freezes.
Interesting. All right. So, thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, corrupt settings can do crazy things. A lot of people try to reinstall the program when something weird like that is happening. It's almost never the program mm-hmm. that has the problem. It's almost always your settings file. Which is harder to find, which is why it doesn't get reset very often.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, it's in,
okay. Hold on, we'll put.
And of course, in Windows, a lot of that stuff is in the registry.
Yeah.
Which is painful. In Linux and on the Mac, they're in preferences. In Linux, much of it is in /etc, but in under .config. But in the Mac, it's all in your folder.
There's a preferences folder, yeah.
Right.
Which is hidden from normal view because it's not usually something you should be mucking about with.
Right.
But that's usually the fix of a program acting weird, is delete the preferences and let it rebuild them new.
Right. All right, back to the phones. We're talking to Sam, who's hurtling down the highway in his car.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Sam, close your window, will you?
Everything is closed up.
Okay.
And it's a poor connection. But I ask you this question, and then I'll get off the phone, and maybe you can answer it.
Sure.
You were talking a little bit earlier about clicking on the right terms and conditions.
Right.
And what came to my mind was that sometimes if you accidentally clicked on something, now to get rid of it, you always have to go to it's usually a text number or a unsubscribe type of thing. But everybody fears that when you click on that, you're selling your name to how many more people? Is there a sure-proof way to guarantee that you won't go on somebody else's list?
Short answer, no. The reality is that as long as you have given your information to anybody, you've pretty much given your information to everybody. Now, that's changed a little bit with the new I forget the name of it, but it's the European GDPR. Privacy. The what?
GDPR.
GDPR, thank you. What that means is that if you say, first you have to, every website and every app and every everything has to have a section that clearly delineates how and when they will share your data. And then you have to abide by that. They have to abide by that. And so many American companies are doing that as well. Can you pot him down a little, please? Because I don't want to hear that. A lot of American companies are going along with that because it's the only way that they can get Europeans to A, come to their sites, and B, not get sued by the European Union. So God bless the Europeans. They're leading in this, and we're seeing that things are getting a little better because of it. But you're absolutely right, Sam. It is absolutely possible that someone can very easily get in there and grab your data. And often enough, we tell people often enough, when you say unsubscribe to something that you never actually subscribe to, all you're doing is telling the people at the other end that there's a live human being who actually reads emails here.
One of the things that you can sort of help you a little bit is if it's a legitimate company, then they probably will unsubscribe you.
Right.
Because they want to follow the law. If it's fake spam, you know, junk mail, garbage, a criminal company,
something you didn't subscribe to,
right? They won't follow the law because they're already breaking the law, and we'll probably add you to more lists. So that's kind of the shortcoming, is that the bad guys aren't going to follow the law anyway, and the good guys do. But that's not the problem. It's the bad guys that are the problem,
right? And so what we tell people is, if you subscribe to something legitimate, you can unsubscribe with no worries. If you get something completely unsolicited that has an unsubscribe button, do not click that button. Instead, block the email address.
And don't subscribe your buddy to a bunch of lists as a prank anymore.
Yeah, that's
a horrible prank these days. It was horrible then, but even worse now.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, great Sam. Show. Thanks, Sam. Good point. Thank you very much. It's. I'm sorry we had to pot him down, but it was getting a little crazier than I normally am. But the fact is, again, I believe it bears reiterating. If you legitimately subscribe to a real thing, you can unsubscribe without a problem. If it's unsolicited and it says unsubscribe, do not click on that link. Do not click on that link. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. I don't think I'm going to go early and often today, but I still have an Ubuntu problem.
Yeah.
When I plug my speaker into the back of the Mac, I don't get any sound. And so I, you know, went back and forth, lots of sites, putting in questions and listening, looking for answers. And what I found eventually is the volume is not up. So I turned up the volume on the Mac from the keyboard, turned up the external volume on my speakers, and I can just barely hear sound. If I unplug the speakers from the Mac, then I got sound all over the place. Plug it back in, and I can't get it. So I found a couple of programs from the repositories, kind of figured out how to download them. I think they're working. I have slightly more sound now, but not much. And I still don't know enough about Linux to get in and adjust things or what have you like that in the actual program itself. So right now, the only way I can really hear sound is to just unplug the external speakers and listen through the
right.
Mac itself.
Right. All right.
That's my
problem. One thing you might try, when you click on the sound icon, the little speaker, generally in the upper right corner,
mm-hmm.
You get a pull down. The bottom choice should be sound settings.
Okay.
You get input and output a couple of different ways. I don't have my. I almost brought my Linux machine today instead, but I didn't. You get several places that have your input and your output. One of the things you will discover is that there will be multiple outputs for sound.
Okay.
And it may not be with the hardware that's in a Mac, it may not be properly sensing a change in where the sound should go.
And,
so you'd have to change it directly in the way you do that, at least on my version of Ubuntu, and of course everybody's is different, is you pick the thing and there's a little green checkbox and you make sure that checkbox is active for that particular thing.
And one of the things on the Mac is that that jack on the back of the Mac is an analog audio jack using the mini stereo, you know, eighth inch connector. It's also a digital output jack using the mini stereo 8-inch TOS connector. So the Linux software has to know whether it's sending the analog output or the digital output. And if it's the analog output, you probably need powered speakers. So if your speakers don't if your speakers don't have their own power cord, that could be why you're not getting enough volume.
Okay, my speakers do have their own power.
Okay.
You also might want to try plugging headphones into it or earbuds and just see if that if it works better that way. That gives you a clue.
I did try that. Didn't work.
Okay. So definitely check by pulling down the speaker icon, the pull-down menu, the bottom choice is sound settings, and it should give you just far too many options. And you play around with them till you find the one that works, and then you remember that one. I'm sorry, I don't have a better way to tell you that because I don't run a Mac.
Yeah, well, at least you put me in another direction to go. That's more information than I had.
There you go.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you can do almost anything in Linux, but
you can
you
do, almost
to do almost
anything. Yeah, you have to do almost anything. I like that.
Yeah. So it's a pull-down menu. One of the things we often don't think about is the fact that many icons are not just icons. They're also menus.
Yep.
Particularly on the panel on Linux, that which is that thing across the top there. So if you've got that, you might want to pay attention to what happens when you click on something like that. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed, also from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Yeah, I'm glad I turned you on because I have the same kind of a problem. This is more about a Samsung Galaxy phone. For example, I can hear with or without headphones, like YouTube, when they explain, you know, how to put a widget on whatever. But for some strange reason, they have some interesting medical videos on WebMD, and I've looked everywhere, and I can't hear the sound at all. The guy's talking. It's like an all-time movie. So I sent a message to WebMD, and they said something, you know, standard said, oh, make sure your sound is on while the sound is on. I even tried with headphones, nothing. So I'm kind of stymied. I don't know if you have any suggestions.
This is on mostly just WebMD?
Right. Yeah.
When you click on it, just to interrupt you for a second, sir. When you get to that WebMD, you know, and usually there's a button there, you know, to start the video.
Right.
Now, usually down, I think it's in the lower right-hand corner, you're making sure, or along the bottom, that your volume on that particular video is turned up and it's not muted.
No. Yeah, I've done all that stuff.
Cross all the T's.
With big fat fingers, but yeah, I've done all that stuff.
And
right?
One of the tricks, especially in YouTube video, it's not necessarily your computer's audio volume. There's a separate YouTube audio volume button. So your computer's volume can be up high, but the YouTube volume could be down low.
Yeah. Or in this case, the WebMD volume.
WebMD, because depending on which a media player they're using.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought too, because I even called Samsung and they, oh, no, your phone's working fine, blah, blah, blah. But it's bizarre because I double checked it, and while I had them on the phone, I went to YouTube and some guy came up, hi, my name is Fred, and says, oh, that part of it's fine. But You looked on the icons, the sound is on, I know for sure, and the, you know, the slider for maximum control is on, et cetera. So I'm just, and I looked at my notifications inadvertently, and everything is fine, you know, on the settings. So I'm just still scratching my head because some of the stuff is really interesting, because but you can't read lips, you're out of luck.
Which Galaxy phone do you have?
This is a point I'm going to say that I got a couple of them. This one is a Galaxy. I want to say it's Stardust, but it's the next one up. It's a Galaxy Luna. There you go. Yeah, it's a Galaxy Luna.
Okay. Yeah. Try. Okay. One thing you should try is check the same website on a desktop or a laptop.
Okay.
And often you will be, because it's a much larger screen, you will be better able to see things like, as Steve said, the sound might be off on a particular video. Or right. Because I find that a lot. I do the same thing. I've got a Pixel, but it's the same idea. It's still an Android phone. Some sites, the sound is loud and clear, and on some sites, I have to turn the sound on explicitly for that video.
Right, yeah.
And so, it's like I said, it's easier to see when you're on a desktop or laptop, and that's what led me to discover the tiny little icon, the tiny, tiny little icon in phone
small.
Video.
Well, that's a good idea. I'll go to the library because they've got all umpteen of them, and I'll try to do that then. Okay, right. That's good thought. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks. It's when it's a specific thing like that. It also could be, I suppose, that it's I did not want to go there. Why did it go there?
Because it wanted to.
Yeah, right. It could be also that it's a flash or some other type of video that is not properly supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On an Android system. Flash continues to be an issue. Adobe's getting rid of it in 2020, but by the end of 2020. But it's a problem right now, and people are still using it. And my beloved bride is playing a game in it that she will never give up. And I don't know what I don't know what's going to happen at the end of 2020. We'll probably miss a Saturday here because I'll be in the emergency room with her while they try to get her out of her catatonic state. Luckily, she's at work and not listening to this.
Yeah, you might be in the hospital. Heck with her.
Because I can't fix it.
Because she's sitting there beating you with it and saying, fix this. You're the expert. Fix it. You claim you can fix it. You've been on the radio 30 years giving advice. Now I need advice. Get it fixed.
All right. the basic point that I'm making here is that
you're going to be doomed.
I'm doomed. But the point I was making before that is that when you have a small screen device like a phone, it is often easy to miss things that were originally designed to be shown on a big screen, and therefore the icon that is perfectly visible and easily seen on a desktop is just a tiny little dot on a laptop, on a phone. Mm-hmm. And so it is easy to miss the thing that you're supposed to click and you know, whatever. But that's a sound is, you know, the reality is that anytime you plug in something that isn't built into the computer, it's a whole new world. It's like the problems people have with wireless. Excuse me. Why am I not getting a wireless signal? Well, there's only about 600,000 reasons, most of which are not under your control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you say? One of the things that people look, this goes back to the very first thing we talked about today, and it includes things like your sound and everything else. It used to be you could just be a user of a computer, and that's great. But the reality is you are now a systems administrator, and that's more than just keeping your system up to date. That's understanding the entire ecosystem in which you live. You know, why am I not getting a signal in this room? Well, because the signal drops off because there's some sort of metal between you and your router. Maybe you need to move your router. Maybe you need to not sit in that corner of the room. But the reality is that you are a systems administrator. Mm-hmm. When I was doing that for a living, I had minions that did all the hard work, like going around with a laptop and creating a heat map of the building where all the dips and hills were
for wireless and
all the dead spots. And so when somebody came, I could point to it and say, well, see how you're here and there's no signal here? If you move here, you get a good signal. So just go over one table.
Well, it's just like me right now with my ham radio. And this nowadays, back in the day, you know, they just had the radios. Well, now they interface with your computer. And they've got the software that'll sit. And trying to do that balance because it's working with the sound card.
Right.
And doing it, like you said, you have to have patience, people, and be able to work through these problems. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask. The one thing we have said for close to over 30 years here, and it's been a tagline on my emails for the longest time, is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And, you know, that's why people call in and ask questions constantly for now coming up on 30 years.
Right.
And that's what you got to be able to do is ask those questions. So what? You know, well, I feel stupid doing that. That's okay.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. And that's where you're going to learn. And we learn, too. That's the other thing, you know, because we can sit there and give advice, but it's always great when folks come by. You know that what you suggested to do? That was it.
Yep.
Well, we have usually a pretty good idea between the three of us how things are going to work out, but they don't always work out. There's sometimes some issues. So, you know, you got to be able to play around with it, and it can always be a challenge. But like Nick was saying, you've got to be your own system administrator for that computer and get to know it. You know, it's not just one of these devices you turn on and forget it. It's just like when installing the software. Take your time when you're installing it and read those screens. I know it's boring and that, but watch what you're clicking on. It all takes time.
There are two differences between users and gurus. Gurus read the manuals, back when there were manuals.
Mm-hmm.
And now gurus read the screens before they click anything. It's really kind of all it takes.
Yep.
And all you have to do is make sure that you do that. You want to have an absolute assurance that you know what you're talking about. And the only way you know that is to actually get in there and do the due diligence and actually read the thing. So, all right, that music tells us that you've wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense. Sadly, we're not done. We're going to be coming back for another hour. We're going to take a slightly longer break. But we'll be back shortly with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all your calls. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. And oh, by the way, if you're going down to the Jazz Festival, support us by throwing a buck in the jar. And we'll be back shortly with a whole lot more Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival, Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites.
Before you get into that, what I was going to... You sort of touched on it.
Uh-oh.
And this is one thing, you know, right now, folks, you know, as we right now it's getting into the summer months, a lot of great festivals, and Nick touched on a good one, that the Jazz Fest is going on. And you constantly hear us say during the fund drives, if folks are going down to the Jazz Fest, please stop by and visit our tent. We're right there on Gibbs Street. And if you can, if you're not a member, become a member. A lot of the DJs that are you hear on the radio are down there. It's a perfect opportunity. And like I was telling a couple other folks, it's one of the few festivals, and I think statistics will bear me out on this, but in all the years that the Jazz Fest has been going on, it's one of the greatest events. You never hear of any fights or anything else. It's all people going down there to have a great time and great music.
Yeah.
There's a lot of free concerts. There's a lot of other great artists that have come in from this worldwide. We're now one of the top 10 jazz festivals to visit. So if you get a chance, it's going, you know, it started last night. This is day two. It's going to go all week into next week, you know, next weekend. So don't miss out. Check out the schedule. We've got it up there on our webpage, jazz901.org. So check it out. Come on down. Stop by the tent. Say hello. And, oh, if you care to, make a donation into our jar there. Because, again, it all goes to help keeping this great radio station on the air and programs like us.
Right.
And if enough people throw a buck in the jar, we won't have to have a pledge drive.
Exactly.
If that's every person who went there did that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's over close to 200,000 people that visit the Jazz Fest. If every one of them dropped in a buck, just $1, we wouldn't have to have a fund drive for the year.
Right.
Because they have the Jazz Fest every year. That would make Rob happy. And us too, because then we wouldn't have to interrupt our show asking you for money, folks.
That's exactly right. All right, and while I'm reading the news, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. On Thursday, Apple sent out a press release and published a customer support document announcing a new voluntary recall and replace program for certain MacBook Pro models that contain batteries that may overheat and which may have the potential to be a fire risk. The recall program is limited to certain 15-inch MacBook Pros from 2015, which were sold primarily between 2015 and 2017, Apple says. So pre-Touch Bar Retina models from near the end of that form factor's life cycle. The company support page offers a field wherein a consumer can input their serial number to find out if their laptop is affected, and we'll be publishing that on our website. Just Steve's doing that right now. Because customer safety is a top priority, Apple wrote, Apple is asking customers to stop using affected 15-inch MacBook Pro units. The company hasn't provided details about the nature of the problem, other than to say in a limited number of older generation 15-inch MacBook Pro units, the battery may overheat and pose a fire safety risk. The support page indicates that users who send in their laptops will have their batteries replaced free of charge, not their whole systems, and that this does not impact other forms of warranty coverage. Replacements can be made when the consumer takes their laptop into a physical Apple store, an Apple authorized dealer, or when they mail the device directly to Apple. In all cases, however, your device will be sent to an Apple repair center for service, Apple says, which means the service could take 1 to 2 weeks. This is far from the first faulty lithium-ion batteries that to have led to recalls. Samsung famously tackled a vast and expensive recall of the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 smartphone a couple of years ago. You can ask Flamin' Dave Enright about that one. The problem attracted so much attention that some airlines specifically banned use of that model of phone on flights for a period of time, making it part of their flight attendant safety scripts. The battery technology also played a role in Apple's performance throttling and unattended shutdown controversy on iPhones in recent years. Lithium-ion batteries account for the majority of the weight in many of today's mobile devices, and they are often cited as one of the key limitations for industrial designers who design custom electronic products. So how's your MacBook Pro? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And I do want to stress that these will be mailed in only. Apple has told us that we can't perform the service ourselves. We think because the parts are going to be constrained. So it will be mailed in. It could take 1 to 2 weeks. And please, please, please back up your data. We have seen that when we ship computers to Apple for repair, they often get their hard drives erased as a matter of troubleshooting. If you erase the hard drive and the problem still occurs, then it's in the hardware, not the software. And too bad for the customer data. This is actually a recall, which is more than what Apple's done in the past. They've had repair extensions for problems, which means that they extend the warranty if you have this problem. In fact, right now there are repair extensions on the Butterfly keyboard models. If you have a problem, Apple will cover it, but they're not going out of their way. This is actually a recall. If you have a 2015-inch MacBook Pro Retina, do not continue using it. Back it up immediately. Take it to you can go to the Apple Store. You can go to any Apple authorized reseller, which I happen to be, and it will get shipped off to Apple. I imagine the sooner you do it, the sooner you'll get it back.
Before
the backlog starts.
Right, exactly. Now, one thing, here's how you should do this. As you can see on our website, there's a site you can go to put in your serial number.
And it
explains where to find your serial number, so you can do that as well.
What's interesting is
hold on, before you do that. If your serial number is one of the ones that should be replaced, the very next thing you should do is make sure you have a good backup and then shut it down. Don't keep using it.
That's one question I got for you, Steve. Now, on a Mac, can you, because I don't know about the file system, can you create other partitions?
Sure, yeah.
See, I wasn't sure on that, and this is one thing we were talking about last week on folks, is to, you know, create another partition on a drive or use another drive and store all your data off to this other partition that's all there is your data, your folders, you know, as far as your photos, your documents, and everything else that's important to you. So that, you know, because folks say, oh, it's such a pain in the butt trying to, you know, do backup. Well, if you have a separate partition, what I've been advocating is create another partition, say the D partition, that is just for your data. So all you have to do is, whether it's a Mac or a PC, is point your backup program to, say, the D drive. Back everything up. You've just simplified instead of having to go through all the folders.
The problem is people then have to remember every time you save a file, point it to D.
Well, if you set your documents folder to D.
Not the all problem, programs can
right,
do that.
And the problem is you get programs like Intuit's
QuickBooks,
which created a folder on the C drive, and that's where it put everything.
And that's where it has to be, yeah.
Right.
Well, you can go manually change it yourself.
But if you right. So you have to, program, it's part of being a system administrator. Yeah.
You just took the words out of my mouth. You got to be the system administrator. Like I said, it's a little pain, but you go through and change the wording to the
and
D drive.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a partition, because if you put everything in the home folder, your home folder, and then back up only your home folder.
Right, which is what both Mac and Windows do now automatically.
Trying to simplify it. Right. So you're not going through, say, your photos, your music, and everything else. If it's just one area. Folder.
Right.
So all I have to do is say, go to this folder or that drive
letter.
On the
Linux, I put my home folder on a separate drive. And so I just back up that whole home folder and everything goes. Thank you.
And the Time Machine program built into the Mac is very easy to use to copy everything onto an external drive as well.
Right.
What's interesting is that I find in the serial number field, where they usually, you know, have a bunch of X's to put your serial number in, it's X's and O's now.
Oh, how cute. The thing you need to be aware of is that this is, in fact, dangerous.
Yes, this is a safety issue. It's more than just the battery swelling, which has been a problem previously. That's technically not a safety issue.
Concerned.
If it swells enough to breach, that's a safety issue.
That's a safety concern, right.
But still, even going back, again, PC or Mac, backup hard drives are so cheap.
Yep.
3.5-inch terabyte hard drive, you know, you can get for under $100. I think under $75 bucks to sit there. How important is your data?
Versus potentially thousands of dollars for a data recovery service.
Right. Yep.
But let's not lose sight of what we're talking about here, which is if you are on this list, do an immediate backup and then shut that machine down and do not use it again.
Yep.
Do not.
And unplug it. Do not be charging it, because from the way we're reading into this, it looks like there might be a problem in overcharging.
Right. So shut it down, unplug it, box it up, bag it up, whatever you do. Take it to a repair center like Steve's and let them send it in for repair. You do not want to mess with this.
Apple shipped
us. Which means you're going to have a whole store full of ticking time boxes.
Apple shipped us new shipping boxes. We always got a kick out of this where the FedEx guy brings us an empty box.
Yeah.
But it's got a special new lithium-ion battery-safe shipping bag in it.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. And it now explains why in the last couple of weeks I had to take lithium-ion shipping battery safety courses.
Right.
And had to learn all the stupid UN and UAC and EAN and all these stupid regulations. And there's different regulations for surface, air, and ship transportation.
Wow.
Oh, really?
And I thought my rocket stuff was hard to remember.
And this is just a simple little battery.
Yeah, I want to ship a battery. Is it it's lithium iron or lithium metal? And is it lithium a battery in a device or a lithium battery by itself or a damaged lithium battery in the device or by itself?
Is it already damaged? Right. Now, these are not removable batteries? Not easily removable.
They're not easily removable, no.
So you're sending in the whole laptop.
Yep.
Letting an Apple tech in Cupertino somewhere actually deal with it.
Yeah,
play with it.
Okay. This is, pay attention, people. This is important. If you have a Mac that's on that list, go to our website, take a look at that link, follow it, type in your serial number. It'll tell, just above that, it'll tell, it's under the eligibility section. It'll tell you how to find your serial number. You put that serial number in there, and if it is in fact on the list, do one final backup and then shut that machine down, unplug it, and get it to a repair center now. This is not a joke.
So that's the 15-inch.
We love each and every one of you, and we want you around.
15-inch, mid-2015. So if you have a 13-inch computer, this is not it. If you have an earlier or later model, this is not it. The last time there was one of these big recalls, we had hundreds of people calling in. What about my 10-inch? No, we said 15-inch.
Right.
It's only the 15-inch.
Again, they don't take the time to read.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and in any event, put in your serial number. If it comes back and says not you, then it's not you.
Yeah.
You know, that. But
that's the simplest.
That's the simplest way to do it. That's how you do it. So,
Well, what's interesting is the error message is a little annoying. So my computer is definitely not part of this recall. So the message is it's not affected or it's already been done.
Okay.
That doesn't really help.
Well, if it hasn't been done, if you know it hasn't been done, then you know it's not affected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Hopefully.
Let me put in your serial number, see what it tells me.
Yeah. My serial number is probably the wrong number of digits.
Yeah, it doesn't match.
Sequence.
We've been going through our service records and people that we've sold these model computers to. We're trying to email directly, but we also put it on our Facebook page and in our news magazine we put out to our customers. But not everyone's our customer. I don't know why.
It's unbelievable.
Slacker.
But yeah, you have to.
In fact, good. Now that you're not really in the PC business anymore, we can steal your sign, your slogan. You can join our family and not get mauled.
Nice. That's nice.
Ooh.
We work when you don't. That was one of yours, wasn't it?
We work when you don't. Yep.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Not get mauled. I like it. You can bring your MacBook, 15-inch MacBook to any authorized dealer, including Steve, and you can get uh, get that thing out and back as soon as possible. And the sooner you do it, the better off you are, of course.
Yeah, and it's not worth, oh, hello, your life or burning down your house or anything else it could possibly
Says
have.
The guy who kept his, of course, you only kept it a day.
No, I played. I'll admit, I kept it a week.
Aha!
It was one whole week because I went into the store and the guy was saying I had to turn it in right then. And I go, no. Yes, you have to. I go, no, I don't. Well, you got to. You can't leave here with it. I go, are you going to buy this phone for me? And he just looked at me and backed off. And because the girl had told me if I waited a week, and it was 6 days.
Yeah.
Because she called me and she says, they're in. So I quick went that following, you know, 6 days later, went in there, turned in that flaming, non-flaming, because mine was still working great. Didn't even get warm. And I know because I carry it in my back pocket. And got the Google phone, the Pixel.
Yeah.
And it was this phone, I won't, you know, trade it for anything. I won't own another Android-type phone because the biggest thing was not getting all that bloatware.
Not getting the bloatware and not getting the spam.
Yeah, I mean, all this, you know, I was so amazed when I wait a minute. And I looked at it because when, you know, we first set, she was helping me set it up. Wait a minute. Where's this? She goes, you just got to put on what you want. I go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But it finally sinks in, you know.
Right. Let's finish this thing just quickly before you get back to that story. So don't be Dave Enright.
Yep.
Pack your.
Pack.
Even Dave is agreeing.
Yeah, definitely.
It up and send it. This is a big battery.
Well,
and it can be a big problem.
Matter of fact, we had pictures on our website of a laptop that had the battery issues. And it literally, folks, burnt the whole top. The gentleman, and this had to be, 10 years ago. There was a battery issue on the Toshiba laptops. And he was at the point, because he came home, and he was in a dilemma. He looks down this hallway. Here's his laptop. He could see the flames on the desk, literally, because he had the laptop on the desk and see these flames. But he had to quick go the other end to get his wife out because she was on oxygen.
She should not be.
He had to get it out. So by the time he got her out, went back in there and was able to get the fire out. Like I say, the whole laptop was just charred, and I had pictures of it.
And by the way, lithium gas is toxic.
Yeah.
So if it starts smoking, get it outside and get away from it.
So, yeah, and it's very dangerous, folks, and it's not something you want to mess with, especially if you can go to that website, look it up. You don't have to hit Steve with tons of other questions. Well, what about this one or that one? Yep. If the serial number doesn't show up as being recalled, then you're okay.
Even if your computer's out of warranty, this will be a free replacement for you for a replacement battery.
And speaking of the Pixels, the number one unlocked cell phone on Amazon is the Pixel 3A.
Really?
Yeah, it's the number one selling phone on Amazon. And the next one, that's a $400 phone, remember?
Yep.
The next, the number two, is a $70 phone. That's how amazing this phone is. People are buying them like hotcakes.
Well, I was thinking that I was having an issue with mine. And sure enough, I Googled it, and there was an issue with one of the updates. So all I had to do was roll it back. Or no, I wound up going to the next update because they quick changed it. And it solved my problem. Because I was seriously looking at the 3A. Because, you know, there's no way I want to pay $1,000 for a phone. Hello? It's a phone. Right. For
when
texting.
You you get 99% of the same features for $400.
Yeah.
Well, hello?
Hello. You know. Camera, it takes good enough pictures that I need. It takes a heck of a lot better pictures than I used to with my old Kodak Instamatic camera. Well,
Pixel 3A is the best phone on a camera today. That's simple enough. Not tomorrow, but today.
Yep. Well, like I said, the biggest feature that they could do on a phone that would make phones a hot commodity again, because that's the one thing that they're always looking to do, is find some new innovative thing that they can do to tout that that's why you need this phone, is increase the size by a couple millimeters more and make the battery last longer so that you can tout. I know we're repeating what we said last week, but you could tout, oh, you can go 2 full days without recharging. You know, I mean, that would be great because, let's face it, folks, I go driving around and I see everybody buried into their face into the phone.
Right.
Everybody, you can go out to dinner and I've seen it. My wife and I have seen families sitting there, husband and wife and the son and daughter sitting at the table. And where are they? They're all looking down at their phone. They've forgotten how to talk, and they sit yep. there into the phones. Everybody is using their phones, whether it's to stream movies, TV programs, or what, you know, Snapchatting and all this other stuff. We're tethered to those things. So more battery life would be a great feature for some company to come out with, just a little bit thicker and longer life.
Well, that's what I like is about the 3A XL is that it's got a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which is higher than most.
Mm-hmm.
Not yep. all, but certainly most. And that's kind of nice. And because it's a slightly slower processor, certainly faster than you need, but slightly slower, et cetera, et cetera.
You know,
it lasts even longer.
That's a funny thing, though. You know, here, it's a phone, folks, and we're worried about processors. Let's go back to the old days of 286 or the original PCs. They had 5 1/4 floppy drives.
Well,
hello.
Let's not forget, instant gratification is no longer fast enough.
Yeah, evidently.
Although I have seen the 3A, and it's not slow. It does not slow down. It's no slower than any phone I've ever used, and I don't care what phone it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't actually played with it in your hand, don't talk about it.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing. A 4,000 milliamp hour battery with everything else that includes for only, well, 480 for the XL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you beat that.
Well, like you were saying, though, you know, I mean, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner because you can't change out the batteries anymore.
Right.
You know, it's not like I can sit there and say, oh, no big deal. You know, I can swap out the battery and I've got another one that I've got charging. You can't do that anymore. You know, it's granted they're doing the fast charge, but if you're not near a place where you can do a quick charge, you know, driving right. along, you're hosed. So adding the extra battery life would be great.
Yep. And yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And if you're looking at a new phone and you're an Android person or you're tempted by an Android phone, take a look at the Pixel 3a and the Pixel 3a XL. Go to the store, put one in your hand and move it around for a bit. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised. I was. We'll see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And moving into our last segment of the show for today.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, so we've been hearing a lot recently about how Google is changing their ad blocking policy, and they're going to block ad blockers because they make money from ads.
Yeah.
And so people are saying, let's go to Firefox. Well, here's an issue. Hackers exploited a pair of potent zero-day vulnerabilities in Firefox to infect Mac users with a largely undetected backdoor. Mozilla released an update on Tuesday that fixed a code execution vulnerability in a JavaScript program method known as array.pop. On Thursday, Mozilla issued a second patch fixing a privilege escalation flaw that allowed code to break out of a security sandbox that Firefox used to prevent untrusted content from interacting with sensitive parts of a computer system. Interestingly, a researcher at Google's Project Zero had privately reported the code execution flaw to Mozilla in mid-April. On Monday, as Mozilla was readying a fix for the array.pop flaw, unknown hackers deployed an attack that combined working exploits for both vulnerabilities. The hackers then used the attack against employees of Coinbase, according to Philip Martin, the chief information security officer for Coinbase, which is a cryptocurrency thing. Oh, and we should probably talk about Facebook's cryptocurrency. Sorry, it makes me laugh. On Thursday, Mac OS security expert Patrick Wardle published an analysis of Mac malware that came from someone who claimed it infected his fully up-to-date Mac through a zero-day vulnerability in Firefox. The person claimed to have been involved with a cryptocurrency exchange until fairly recently. The hash of the malware matched one of the hashes provided by Martin. While both of the hashes provided by Martin applied to apps that run only on Mac OS, one of the command and control servers has also been known to control a Windows backdoor with characteristics that are similar to NetWire, according to this analysis from Kremes, the independent reverse engineer. The same analysis shows links to two other in-the-wild attacks, one exploiting a nasty vulnerability in the WinRAR Windows file compression program, and the other against the Microsoft Word zero-day in 2017.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I do not have direct evidence of that window users were targeted as a result of this exploit, Kremes said. The previous cases suggest they were, but it is unconfirmed. In this case, the evidence is scarce, but it is definite that Mac users were infected. So great. Looks like the only browser left is Opera and Dillo and about 100 others. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. So if you have a Mac and you've got Mozilla and you're using Mozilla, make sure it is up to date. Make sure you've got the latest update on there because it will need to be updated to protect itself against this hack.
And one of the nice things about Firefox is it updates itself, but you have to actually quit and relaunch to apply the update. And so some people never bother quitting their browser. They just put the machine to sleep or get up and walk away. So quit your browser and relaunch. Check for updates and relaunch if necessary.
Right. So that you are sure to be protected from at least this vulnerability.
And this WinRAR vulnerability is interesting. It's apparently WinRAR supports a 20-year-old compression format that somebody found a flaw in that will never get updated.
Right.
And it's existed for 20 years. Just now good guy found it. We don't know if the bad guys have been finding it beforehand.
Well, this is what we talked about at the top of the show.
Yeah.
It's a vulnerability, not in the operating system itself, but in a third-party add-on product. And it is what it is. That's how these things work.
Yep. And millions of people have downloaded WinRAR over the years and have probably forgotten about it. WinRAR, the company, sent an email to all their registered users saying you know update or delete this because there's no auto update feature at that time.
Right.
WinRAR has an auto update feature now, but people change their email addresses all the time. It's guaranteed that most of the WinRAR users have not gotten notification, and it was only a couple of weeks from the public disclosure till from the vulnerability to an exploit in the wild, actively attacking people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from. No, it isn't. Okay.
Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike.
Try calling back.
Please call back.
One thing we should point out, we had somebody text in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when you're registering software, there will be a box that says, do you want to receive emails from a third-party partner? You should really uncheck that because, like I say, people are getting so click-happy.
Yep.
They just go, yeah, next, next, next. And up in that next, that little window up above, there was, you know, it's usually checked, receive emails from, but, and folks say, oh, uncheck it. If it's something you don't want the software to.
No, sometimes don't uncheck it, read it. Because yeah. Sometimes they say, do not send me third-party messages.
Yeah.
Well, you want to check that one because yep. You do not want to receive third-party messages. So right. You got to pay attention. You got to read everything.
And sometimes you can't say no. Don't send me stuff because it's built into the terms of using that program you want.
And there's been a few of those. I won't install the software.
Yep.
If they're making me sign up and use this other stuff, nope. Get rid of it. Oh, one thing, before you even do those software updates and installing them, folks, one program which we've recommended for quite a few years is Revo Uninstaller.
Right.
Please use that program. The Windows Uninstaller can actually slow down your machine. And here's a little tidbit if some of you folks don't know. When you say uninstall a program, all the Windows Uninstaller does is turn off one bit. It still leaves all that information from that program still in the registry. So if all of a sudden, it gets corrupted and you use the Windows to uninstall it, it uninstalls it by turning the one bit off. And then when you go to reinstall it, it adds more information back to the registry, making your registry longer and longer to install, which can slow down your machine because it's got to go through the registry to see where everything is.
And that's why some people say, it's so slow to boot up.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a 2 gig registry. You know how long it takes to load that in and read through it every time you do something?
Revo Uninstaller will get rid of all the stuff in the file folders and in the registry. So use it. We recommend, and that's one program you definitely would want to even support. Because they have other features that you can do if you want it for the paid version. I highly recommend using that over the Windows program.
Right, right. It's honestly a much better program. So you want to be careful of how you do with that. Let me read this last. It was all about. It was a lot of Mac stuff this week. Not it was good, but it was a lot of Mac stuff this week. Israeli-based Cellebrite, a mobile device forensics company, now says it can break into any Apple device running iOS 12.3 or below. Cellebrite said it can determine locks and perform a full file system extraction on any iOS device or a physical extraction or full file system extraction on many high-end Android devices to get much more data than what is possible through logical extractions and other conventional means. This isn't the first time Cellebrite has claimed to have been able to unlock iPhones. Last year, it and Atlanta-based Grayshift said that they had discovered a way to unlock encrypted iPhones running iOS 11 and marketed their efforts to law enforcement and private forensics firms worldwide. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security tested Cellebrite's technology. Grayshift's technology was snapped up by regional law enforcement agencies and won contracts with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or as we know it, ICE, and the U.S. Secret Service. Shortly after the two companies announced their ability to bypass iPhone passcodes, Apple announced its own advances to further limit unauthorized access to locked iOS devices through a USB restricted mode. In iOS 12, Apple changed the default settings on iPhones to shutter access to the USB port when the phone has not been unlocked for 1 hour. The iPhone XR and XS models, based on the A12 system on a chip or SoC, are harder to break because the password recovery for it always runs in at before first unlock or BFU speed, even if the phone was unlocked before. Both Cellebrite and Grayshift's technology not only try all possible passcode combinations, but they start with the most popular passcodes first, such as 1234,
That's the password I have in my luggage.
Yeah. It is especially important in BFU mode, where only about 150 passcodes a day can be tried. Custom dictionaries or word lists can also be used. According to experts, many iOS devices are very well protected, while some Android devices provide an even better level of security. So to protect your iPhone, five things you should do. Use at least a six-digit passcode. Make that passcode complex. Can you put in words and stuff? Yeah, okay. Yep. So letters, numbers, uppercase, lowercase, symbols. Enable USB restricted mode. Know how to activate it using SOS. And best of all, use an iPhone XR or XS model or newer. So how secure is your phone? Give us a call, assuming you can unlock it. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. It comes right back to what we've been talking about all day. You are a system administrator now. And that's not just your computer, it's also your phone, it's your laptop,
it's your whole network at home,
it's your router. Exactly right. You've got to be aware of all of these things. You've got to pay attention to all of these things. It's no longer just, oh, we'll just set it up and it'll run. You need to protect yourself, and you need to protect your family, and you need to protect your data, and you need to protect your devices, and it just gets more and more complex as we go along. And we won't even talk about the people who have things like Nests.
Oh, yeah.
And those Ring doorbells and all that stuff, that's even, you're even farther along.
So in this Cellebrite post, maybe one reason there was a 12.3.1 update that came out like a week ago.
Yep.
So Apple fixed whatever backdoor they found. So that's the problem. We've got companies are finding problems and not reporting it to the manufacturer so they can break in. Or they can sell that to somebody else. And so this Cellebrite company is selling their services to law enforcement, they say. If they told Apple could make the programs more secure for the end users.
Right.
But it's that fight between government wants to spy on you and you want to be private.
Well, that's the whole thing, folks. We've said before, you know, you get very complacent. You get it set up, and you've got the latest and greatest, say, patch on it and that for right now. It's a game of leapfrog. And what I mean by that is, yes, you go ahead and you put the latest and greatest patches on it. It's not something, like Nick said, you can just then forget about.
Right.
You've got to watch it because periodically they do updates because the people out there are always trying to find other holes that they can come in and attack your system. So like I said, it's a game of leapfrog. You get ahead, they jump over you. Then you got to jump over them to keep. It's been that way since day one.
Yeah.
And the internet. They've all, you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, but there's also a lot of folks that want to steal information to make money. That's their whole goal. Nowadays, before, yeah, it was, oh, a virus that might wipe out or show up on your screen and everything else.
It was vandalism. They wanted to spray paint on your wall. You know, Kilroy was here.
Yeah, right. You know, they hacked into your computer. Big deal. Well, now they're trying to steal your personal information to steal your life.
And one of the most common payloads that these malicious programs install are crypto miners. So I'll segue back to you in a minute. So if they can install a crypto miner on your computer, and someone just found there's a massive RDP flaw. If you're running any version of Windows, update your RDP, including XP. There was an update for that, where bad guys can break into your computer through the remote desktop protocol. Researchers, good guys, have found almost a million vulnerable computers. And another security researcher just reported they found about 50,000 active infections, 50,000 computers running a crypto miner for the bad guy that are probably earning who knows how many millions of dollars.
And RDP is remote desktop protocol.
Yep. Yeah.
Turn that off.
It's a way to have someone else get into your computer.
Take control of it.
Mm. Right. And do things. And we see that a lot. A lot of times you get those fake calls that we've talked about before. You've got a problem. Hi, I'm from Microsoft, and you've got a problem with your computer. Let us in. We'll fix it.
Yep.
Oh, okay. They let people in, and the next thing you know, you've got a crypto miner, and somebody's getting your money.
Or just your personal information.
Or all your personal information or whatever. Speaking of cryptocurrencies, Facebook has their own cryptocurrency now. Yeah, there's a company I trust.
Yeah.
For Pete's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine that there's any human being on the planet who trusts Facebook at this point. But I'm sure there are plenty.
I don't know. I mean, there's just, I guess, for the most part, but I think for the most part, though, on one part, yeah, you're going to find some. But hopefully, because it's been out in the news enough that people aren't going to be that gullible. I hope.
You would hope, but I'm afraid I'm more cynical than you are.
Out of the, you know, just in the U.S., 100 million people alone that might be approached, you get, you know, 10,000 of them, which is an extremely tiny percentage, or, you know, 50,000 out of the million I just talked about. It's an extremely tiny percentage. Yeah. But it's enough to make a fortune for the bad guy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, you're right.
And you know what? People are giving all of their private information to Facebook every single day. What's money?
In fact, I just heard on Security Now, if you listen to us, you should listen to Security Now. There's some amazing things that he talks about in the security and internet world. A crypto mining broker is shutting down after 18 months of in operation. So you didn't even have to write your own crypto mining malware. You could buy one from them, and they would take a percentage of the money you stole. And so they shut down after 18 months. They said that we earned our customers $2 billion in 18 months. We've got a couple hundred million ourselves as our commission out of $2 billion. So we're going to shut down and go retire.
Absolutely. I get that.
So you better tell your active crypto mining exploits that you're running now to submit final payments, because after the end of the month, we won't be paying you anymore.
Yeah, I get that.
So in 18 months, they made $2 billion.
Yeah, not bad. Well, they only made a couple of hundred million.
Right. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. But of the people that were using their service, generated $2 billion in revenue from a malicious program that snuck onto somebody's computer.
I retired with slightly less than $200 million. So I can understand their... Just slightly. So I can understand their desire to...
That's why you're still doing this show.
Compared to $2 billion... Yeah. It is slightly less.
You just got me all choked up. And not for a good reason.
Very, very, very few crypto mining, cryptocurrency systems are secure. Some of them are not even legitimate.
You think?
It's ridiculous. Look what happened to Gox.
Yeah.
They just shut down, and the guy just disappeared. With hundreds of millions of dollars of other people's money, and where are you going to find him? Who is even going to know to complain? It's just gone. What are you going to do?
In fact, several of the Bitcoin exchanges were attacked.
Yep.
And billions of dollars of revenue were just lost because the digital coins were stolen.
Yep. I back in the day, I actually started a crypto mining thing. I think about 1/100,000th of a penny.
Yeah.
Somewhere in a crypto wallet that I will never, ever use again. I'll tell you that right now. But you have to be aware of these things, and you have to be careful of these things, and you have to pay attention. That's really what it comes down to. All right. That music tells us you've wasted 2 hours of your life with this nonsense. And we're done for another week. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. And we will be... Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so that's a good thing. And we will be back in just a week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You've been listening to Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported. Remember, head on down to the Jazz Fest and throw a buck in the jar. And we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours.